everybody. Welcome to Nerds on the Rocks, episode number 107. Hey, I'm Nicholas, your host for today, in this panel discussion of wonderfulness and light and sweetness, and also hate. With me today, as always, are our fearless leader, Earl.
Howdy.
The queen of mean, Ashley.
Crash queens and mother babies, time for you to listen up. This is free radio Nerds on the Rocks.
And the master of disaster, Wesley.
I'm not topping that. Ashley wins. Ashley wins.
Well, she has to, because I don't do an intro, like a sneak attack intro this week, so, you know, there's no...
It's the torch in the past, and I accepted it. And I did things with that torch that I can't legally talk about.
Whoa!
That's...
Good night, everybody!
She's found back, bitch, in treasure.
She looked like Whitefield's knees on fire.
Did.
So, our topic for the show today is end of the world. The apocalypse. Armageddon. The big one. The big KO. The deluge. After a mile, the deluge. I don't know. Other words that mean end of the world. End of the world. Apocalypses, dystopias, anything about that. Because the world's going to end at the end of this year. I don't know if you've heard, but it's 2012. And 2012 means the end of the world. According to, I believe, the Bible, and also the Bible. So, what do you guys think about this end-of-the-world scenario? Start with you, Ashley. What do you think about this end-of-the-world stuff?
Well, I think it's a load of bullshit. But aside from that, I feel like, you know, we better get a decent apocalypse and not one of those shitty ones. Like, I don't want the apocalypse where Kevin Nash is riding around having sex with random women. No, not that apocalypse. I'm talking like...
Wait, that was an option?
According to Kevin Nash...
According to Kevin Nash, you know, everyone is a vanilla midget, and he is the king amongst kings. The one who's been prophesied to lead us out of the dark age and into the light. One who will claim the prize and the, I don't know. What's some other portents you can think of? He's Regina Spector's constant. There you go.
Point being, I would prefer no naked Kevin Nash and no zombies. And ideally, no naked zombie Kevin Nash.
If you had to pick, would you prefer the zombies or naked Kevin Nash?
Zombies. I would take the zombies over naked Kevin Nash. I just, you know, yes, I might get eaten alive, but I have to see Kevin Nash's junk.
And you also, with zombies, you at least have a chance to make it.
Yeah.
With Kevin Nash, there's no going back from that.
On the bright side, you could easily outrun Kevin Nash because we know he has a tendency to hurt himself.
I could probably easily outrun zombies, too. Kevin Nash is not outrunning zombies.
No,
well,
no.
We know Kevin Nash is a zombie at this point.
Probably.
No,
yeah.
But I have this
theory.
So,
Wesley,
Travis...
what do you think of the apocalypse?
Well, if the apocalypse involves a blue mutant that has a giant A on his waist, then we could be in for an interesting time period if the X-Men shows us anything about what the apocalypse is going to be like. And in all seriousness, I swear, the 2012, it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous because, honest to God, it's like, the predictive is in the Mayan calendar, 2012, and it's like, really? No, it's not going to happen. I mean, I've been around, like, I actually have an uncle who's a Baptist preacher, so I've been around, and I also went to a Christian school when I was a kid. So, I've been around end of the world scenarios since childhood. So I'm very well acquainted with the people talking about the end of days and all this shit. I'm like going, shut the hell up. Just stop it. Fuck off. Because it's kind of like one of those things where you really just go, you know what? End 2012, it's not gonna end. I'm sorry. Unless some jackass who gets pissed off about the election decides, I'm gonna let off all the nuclear bombs, then yeah, we'll be good. Or suddenly someone does decide to unleash the zombie apocalypse on us, then yeah. But outside of that, really, I kind of get a little bit pissed off when people start like joke, stomp, joke, and the world scenario is fine. When they actually get serious about it, I'm like going, shut the fuck up now, because I will snap your goddamn neck if you're sort of going to go, yeah, well, the end of the world's going to happen. Like, yeah, shut up. I better stop now or else I am going to get increasingly more pissed.
Tell us how you really feel.
What I find interesting is the two things on the podcast that really pissed me off are The Apocalypse and Immortals, the movie.
Oh, wow.
I know, isn't that funny? It's like the two things that have set me off are The Apocalypse and, well, okay, okay.
So are we going to have to start putting trigger warnings on these episodes? Be like, warning, Wesley, trigger warning, Immortals.
I'll have to give you a personal story here, in all seriousness. When I was a kid, I actually had a friend of the family who showed me one of those end of the world Christianity movies, and
the day after,
it was one of those, like, it was called A Thief in the Night, and it was one of those things in which it was just this big like preachy thing, and I was like, well, how old was I? About 12 or 13, and I was like, what the hell? And what the heck is this crap? And I was, it was just the ultimate in, you are bad. If you don't believe this way, end of the world happens, you are going da-da-da, or you are going to hell and all this shit. And it's funny how people get on these sort of situations. And you really have to look at people and go, really? Like, You're trying to scare people into your scenario. And if you really want to go in the biblical fact about the end of the world, is the one thing about, if people read their damn Bibles, or at least know a little bit about it, they go, no one can predict when the end of the world is going to happen. If it happens, it'll happen. You won't know about it.
No man will know the hour.
Thank you. And no man will know the hour. It's going to happen.
Well, we learned about that, was it last year when we had like 15 false prophecies as to when the world was going to end?
Yeah.
Yep.
I remember that. I was laughing my ass off that entire week. I'm like, yeah, you're a fucking idiot, aren't you, Sunshine?
Well, he wasn't an idiot. There was everybody else who was selling all their worldly possessions because they believed him. That were an idiot.
And they were believing him. These motherfucking idiots were believing him. And
oh, we talking about Tom Camping?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who kept changing the date. He's like, oh no, I was wrong. I miscalculated. I added a 2 instead of a 3.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he did it again.
And then
it became some amorphous eventually.
And it's funny how...
I think he's given up on the numbers racket.
And then he just said, screw it. Because my parents told me about this. Like, the end of the world movie was made with Jade around back in like the late 70s, early 80s. And my parents said, West, back in the 70s, every day practically someone was coming up with an end of the world scenario. Every single day practically someone said, world's gonna end, world's gonna end, world's gonna end. It's like, really? For 10 years, like, the 70s was practically filled with that sort of crap, and I went,
it's actually kind of true. I mean, even I remember growing up, certain cartoons would have like this post-apocalyptic scenario in like the 90s. Like, I remember there was one show where, like, the end of the world was, like, in 1994.
I remember that, too.
I don't remember what show this was, but I think it's just a concept that people are entertained by because it's, you know, it's one of those, it really is the next major thing. It's, like, the end of the world or the resetting of civilization. And I think people are just kind of expecting it due to a build-up in population and stuff like that.
Well, that's part of it. What do you think about the end of the world, like, specifically, Earl? Like,
I was going to say, hopefully, if we do ever have an end of the world, I hope it's something that's really just quick and instantaneous and wipes us all out. I don't want to be turned into, like, a half-mutant, half-melted-face type, humanoid-type deal. I don't want to have to deal with looters, and, you know, I don't want to have to protect some pregnant people because you can't have any kids born. I don't expect anything too fancy for it. I do expect most of the world to die out. Sadly enough, I do think the people who survive will be those idiots who built, like, Fallout bunkers in their house, like, 20 years ago and keep it stocked for no other reason but that eventual one day they might all die.
Well, there's an entire show involving this called Doomsday Prepper.
But you do believe that there is, like, an end of the world coming?
Oh, no, I don't believe in that. I mean, I almost certain I'll die before any of this ever happens if it does come to pass. So it's not a concern to me. I don't think there's a doomsday scenario. I think we might get to a point where humanity may be stupid enough to start wiping themselves out in a massive civil war. But other than that...
Now, that doesn't surprise me, actually.
That's the thing. That's the main thing. It's not even most people afraid of the end of the world. They're afraid of the end of the human race, which is a very different thing. And that's kind of how I look at it. You guys remember, like, 12 years ago with the whole turn of the millennium, there was a lot of end of the world shit going around then.
Oh, my
right?
God, yeah.
That happens any time. Like a huge, momentous change in human, you know, the human's perceptions of things. And that's what got me thinking about this the other day, was I was starting thinking about, well, the end of the world, really, it's about people being afraid of dying. It's not, and not even just being afraid of dying, it's people thinking, confronting the idea that they're going to die, and then thinking, well, I don't want the world to continue after I'm dead, so the world has to end when I die.
Well.
Because it's like the inherently human, selfish, like, I'm the most important person in the world.
Yeah, and I can see that, and I think that's, you know, it's one of those things, and I've seen this on Tumblr and stuff like that, where I think sometimes people forget that they have a very tiny role in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have this self-importance that you mean something. And I'm not saying that there aren't people who don't actually live up to that, and they do have some importance to this world. I mean, we just saw somebody this weekend in Neil Armstrong, who I think is... Well, one, it was one of the first deaths that really made me ashamed of humanity when people didn't know who he was.
That was depressing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
don't,
some people...
Don't go on. I don't want to know.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, you know, so there's people like that, but then most other people won't ever have an accolade in their life like that. There will never be another man to walk on the moon for the first time. And, you know, it's just not something you can do. I think people, you know,
the amount of people who know and, like, paid attention to the Mars landing thing, like, that's a pretty huge momentous occasion in human
Jesus
ingenuity and achievement. And how many people, like, just did not care?
Well, and even almost worse than that was there was something I saw posted. It was a picture of the sun from Mars, and someone had commented, "Neat, I didn't know that Mars had a sun, too."
and this is what upsets me, is that we live in an era where people have access to knowledge and information more accessible than any other generation beforehand, and we use it to update ourselves on when Snooki's given birth.
Ah.
I don't know.
She named him Lorenzo.
Oh, goody. She named him.
You know, I need to fucking know.
And that was another thing, and, you know, just, you know, this is kind of tied into it. I'm not a huge fan of Snooki. I don't watch the Jersey Shore or anything. I did find it disrespectful when she got pregnant, or when she announced she got pregnant at the start of this year, that people started saying that this was the coming of the apocalypse and the days.
Well, yeah.
Well.
As much like I said, I'm not a defender of her, but I do think it's a cheap shot to take away a woman's proudest moment of becoming a mother for the first time, to turn it into cheap jokes at her expense just because you don't like what she does on a show. Or two shows, because she has a spinoff now, right?
Yeah, she does, actually.
So yes, and it ties in, since people were saying, like, almost everything that happened this year was somehow tied into the end of the world in December of this year, whatever it was.
It's one of the things where, I can only imagine. I am shocked, or, like, I'm interested, like, this year is, like, there's been always been an interesting little thing of, like, a ramping up of, like, a random, like, end of the world movie popping up, either jokingly or, of course, like, for example, like, go back, if you look into the Christian film industry, like, they have a trilogy of movies, the Left Behind series, that's basically...
Oh, God.
The, yes, I'm sorry, but end of the world scenarios, the stupid Left Behind movies. Spearheaded by Kirk Cameron. Yay!
Isn't Mr. T involved in those?
What is it?
Mr. T, wasn't he?
He wasn't involved in the Left Behind. He was involved in another series of end of the world movies called Judgment, I do believe.
Okay.
Because it's funny. I look at this stuff and I go, really? Especially considering Kirk Cameron, kind of a douchebag.
Kind of.
It's kind of sad to see some people you grew up with as your childhood turn out to be whack jobs in adulthood.
Victoria Jackson? Whack job.
Victoria Jackson is a... She's a something of a thing.
She's a
winner.
Of a thing. A lot of people do go insane in adulthood or whatever. I wonder. I mean, have any of you ever dealt with, like, a cult?
With a what?
With sort of the outskirts of it. I was not in it, but I knew people who were in one. And I had a friend who married a guy who was basically in a cult.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow.
How
did that work out?
She went to, like, one of their meetings, and she pulled him aside afterwards and, like, grabbed him by the shirt and said, "We will not be raising our children in this environment." Because she was, I think she was either pregnant or just had their first kid. And, then years later, it turned out he was a child molester.
Oh, God.
And had molested his kid sister from the age of 4 to the age of 14.
Fuck.
And he's still not in prison.
Is she still married to him?
Oh, no, she divorced his ass.
Okay.
She's remarried now. She has custody of their two kids, and I think she and her new husband just had a baby. So, I mean, things have worked out great for her. But, the child molester is still running loose.
How does that work?
I don't know, and I don't like to think about it, because it's
I was about to say, I mean, this ties into the apocalypse, and it ties into the whole idea of being bigger than the universe, but it seems like a lot of cults kind of prey on that idea that if you're not the center of attention, if you're not the center of everybody's world, that you're alone, you're isolated, and that's kind of the emotion and the mindset that they prey on, and it seems like they tend to, because a lot of these cults, you end up with, I mean, granted, I don't have any experience with it, but I know, like, some of them do end up in, like, mass suicides and stuff like that. Or turning over their worldly fortune to certain people so that they could be saved in some manner.
All I ever think of is the episode with the Movementarians.
That's my favorite. That's actually my favorite episode of The Simpsons.
We have to
get
them some
that.
Other way. Na 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 leader, leader, leader,
leader.
Who was this leader guy you keep talking about? Some kind of leader?
The leader. I mean, we kind of mentioned it when everybody was talking about the... Well, Nikas, you haven't given us your thoughts yet.
On what, the general end of the world? Well, I went into it a little bit about my theory, my opinions on it. What's funny is this whole Mayan 2012 thing. The Mayans never say the world ends then. It just, their calendar stops. That's all. And a lot of that has to do with the work of someone like Terence McKenna, who was a, I don't know how to correctly quantify him. Mysticist is not right, spiritualist is not right, he was a scientist. But funnily enough, we were talking about Grant Morrison before we started recording, and a lot of The Invisibles is based on the Terence McKenna fractal time wave graph.
Well, and we knew that was coming up.
He plots out human history. Yeah. He plots out human history, and then, you know, certain points are, you know, important points, and you can see they shift up or down. And he says there's a big one he plotted out come 2012, December to be specific. So that's the thing.
And I think there is going, I mean, and this is coming from weird spiritual observation. Ashley believes really weird shit sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I almost feel like the world is getting crazier.
Yeah.
Like things that are happening are, like, there is something going on that people are acting out and just things that are happening. And part of my theory is that, yes, this big thing coming in December, not the end of the world, but some sort of shift. And I have to say that reading The Invisibles helped create this theory. And I almost feel like in the buildup that we're seeing is almost like psychic runoff from what's going to happen.
Interesting.
With some people, it's leading them more towards, like, feeling things and experiencing things. You can take it to a good place. And other people don't know how to react, and they're going batshit.
Yeah,
and I mean, combined with the fact that we don't have ways to help people who don't know how to, like, mental health care is not very high on the things that we have accessible to people. And even if you're having, like, a psychic disturbance, like, having a therapist would help with that.
Yeah, totally.
I also think that we still kind of have a thing in society where even seeking counseling is kind of seen as like a weakness. It's kind of seen, you know, you're crazy, you're insane, you're odd and eccentric, and people want to try to avoid that. I mean, we don't know the full story, but even this past weekend in the city, we had that shooting outside of 33rd Street, where an ex-employee was disgruntled after a year. And you would think, a year is a long time. That, I mean, granted, I assume he probably didn't find work in that time or something like that, but he could have gone to counseling, he could have went to support groups, because, I mean, there's a lot of people in the city going through similar situations, so I assume there are people who have the same emotions, the same, you know, they're down on themselves and their abilities and stuff like that. And the fact is that he didn't do anything about it for a year, really probably just ate at him.
Well, it's that, and it's also sometimes it's just... So I had a nervous breakdown a few years ago. I was unemployed, and I kind of just lost it completely. And in that time, I was really lucky that I was surrounded by people who were able to help me out. But when I did start to try and find some sort of help or some sort of counseling, I'm fairly privileged in that I have access to the internet, and I have members of my family who have histories of... medical histories and who knew how to find these things and could help do these things. And it was still almost fucking impossible for me to be able to get into counseling. So if you're someone that doesn't have access to that, if you don't have someone who's willing to, like, take your hand and say, okay, this is how you do this, we're going to get you somewhere for help. I mean, we just, like, talking about the people that were on bath salts and were eating each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, and people saying, well, why don't they get help? It's like, who's taking them to get help? Who's helping them get help? We don't.
They're homeless.
People. And fuck you. This is why we need a better fucking healthcare system in our country.
Thank you.
It also helps, and it is that even if somebody takes you to get help, there is no guarantee that you'll get help, because most systems are voluntary, and if you don't want to be there, you can just leave. They can't hold you there.
Yep.
So, And I kind of understand that, because you can have people falsely, you know, like, oh, like, she had, like, somebody had a bad day, so we're going to commit them. And I can see that, you know, people abusing that. But at the same hand, if
people someone, like, using it as a threat. Like, oh, if you don't behave, I'm going to put you in the loony bin.
Yeah. I mean, not to, I mean, to kind of, you know, that was kind of the idea with the Daniel Bryan and AJ wedding, is that he was going to marry her that, so that he'd have the ability to have her committed after the wedding and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Or at least that was the idea that they kind of paid off at. So, yeah, you know, it is one of those things. And, you know, sometimes it is difficult for people to reach out and say they need help. And it's up to, you know, this is why people have care support systems and support nets and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't want to get political or anything like this, but it's also one of the things that it's one of the things I hated about this campaign session. It's like this whole idea that the Republicans are building up now that you do everything on your own without the help of anybody, because they turned that whole Obama, like, we built this into their slogan. And no, you get anywhere in life with the help of others. It may not be somebody giving you $100 million, but it's somebody who, you know, if you're having a bad day, who's out there to help you, to talk you through it. It's somebody who gives you that, you know, that speech, that moral support that you need. You know, it's anything that helps you to stay sane and to, you know, keep your wits about you.
Exactly. If you don't have that person that you can just kind of talk to and... or someone to kind of, like, really let you talk it out, because there's some people, like, you might want to talk to, and they just blow you off, and you're just kind of like, but when you have someone who's just willing to sit down and listen, even they can't really do anything, per se, that if you have someone just to listen, and just kind of let you talk it out, and you kind of go, oh shit, I'm glad I got the chance to talk this out to somebody, to someone who actually really cared and wanted to hear what was on my mind. That's another factor in everything, and
yeah, but it's I don't want to say happier thoughts, because we are still talking about the apocalypse, but I mean, we mentioned it before when we were talking about, but like, what are your thoughts on some of the apocalyptic scenarios that have played out in, like, mass media? We've had, you know, like,
you stole my next point. Damn it, Earl.
well, go on, then.
Go for it.
That's what I was going to say, is what are your respectively favorite apocalyptic scenarios? Like, and I don't just mean, like, general, like, oh, I like zombie. I mean, like, specific ones, like the Hunger Games, or that's not even End of the World, that's a dystopia. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, Walking Dead, or, you know, the Christian apocalypse, or
that. Are you also are we going back to the idea of the Earth being wiped out, or just mankind coming to an end? Because
any of the various apocalyptic scenarios that have appeared in fiction. So it could be movie, book, whatever.
I was gonna say, would you consider the Terminator an apocalyptic future?
Oh yeah,
I would.
Yeah, God, yeah.
Oh, all right. It's just that mankind still exists. It's just that they're being wiped out by technology. And I like the Terminator setup, just because it gives us a chance to fight for our future in our past, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's the whole idea that the idea that mankind still has the ability to rise up, even in their darkest hours, and do something about it. Granted, yes, it's about sending somebody back in time, like 30 years, to fix some errors, but it is something.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Ashley? What's yours?
You know, really, I lean more towards dystopias than towards the end of the world, I think, because those just seem more realistic to me. Stuff like... very much the ideas of, like, corporations taking over and there being sort of this resistance group. Like, it's a bad example, the Tank Girl movie. And where I think My Chemical Romance was trying to go with the Fabulous Killjoy stuff, but I feel like they didn't quite push the concept far enough. I still like that idea that they created there. It's there's very much the sameness, and the corporation you know, and I also just read this fantastic book called Unmarketable, which is about corporations using underground techniques and absorbing these techniques as viral marketing. It's a great book. Elizabeth, Anne Elizabeth Moore. Elizabeth Moore.
Okay.
It's really good, and it's that idea scares me, like, more than anything is one, the sameness, and two, the corporate control becoming the government. Gross. And so I think my favorite is when there's resistance to that idea built into the story, and it's through, you know, weird outsider art and fighting and remaining yourself. So that's really my favorite trope when we're talking like dystopia, end of the world stuff.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Wes? What's yours?
Okay.
It's your poison.
Well, look, pick your poison. What's you got? Spin the wheel, make the deal. Sorry.
Spin the
wheel. What was fascinating to me is. Now, this is kind of coming back a little bit earlier when you kind of hear why I kind of had my little mini, holy shit, I'm going to have to make a preface later on this one. But I always thought that interstitial scenario that was brought up in, and think what you want about Mark, I mean, the interesting scenario that was brought up in Kingdom Come and how Mark Waid managed to use an idea of the Christian apocalypse and managing to rework it within an Elseworlds DC universe that ended up becoming the de facto future for the DC universe for a period of time. And it was
he applied the Christian symbolism to the heroic allegory and then made something about it.
It's very fascinating work considering that it's just on that borderline end of it. It has a very like dark, sinister, very, very dark, sinister tone at the beginning, like very kind of darker, very hopeless tone. But then by the end of the story has a very like positive, like, wow, you know what? Life is going to be pretty damn good now, isn't it? Yeah. It's going to be pretty damn good now. Mm-hmm. Shit happened, it's very much it was an interesting scenario that was playing out within that story. And I thought that was one of the more interesting takes on how to use a Christian apocalypse, but then making it go, but wait, making it a more different style of taking that, like not taking it to the level it could have been taken, but instead taking it to the, we actually could make a better world out of this, out of everything that's happened. Like, and that was actually very, like, very kind of reassuring, kind of like a hope, and a novel, like, we can actually make things better from here, sort of ideal. Mm. I kind of thought that was pretty cool.
So you like the, not necessarily the end of the world, but the apocalypse as new beginning idea.
Yeah, it's more along that line, because I'm, by the way, for everyone who ever hears the ranty thing, I am far and away, I have an uncle who's a Baptist preacher. I have a lot of, I actually am not religious, but I do believe in a higher power, I have a lot of friends who are of all different beliefs, and pretty much on my own end, I'm always one of the people I'm going, yeah. Now, of course, if you get over-preachy, like I mentioned earlier, yeah, I'm probably going to get a little pissed at you, but for the most part, most of my friends are very cool, and I have no issue with general that sort of nature, so.
Well, can I ask, is your higher power by any chance Vince McMahon?
Hell no.
It was me, Austin!
It was me.
It's been revealed as a higher power before. I just was curious. Nicholas?
I think Nicholas got disconnected.
Oh, shiny, and he's hosting. while he is in limbo right now, what are your thoughts on, I guess, natural disaster apocalypse? Something like the day after tomorrow, or I think 2012 has the same thing where it's a typhoon or earthquake or something. I haven't seen the movie.
I've never seen 2012 either, so don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad about not seeing it.
Well, I know. You really should. I've heard it's really, really bad.
See, I don't bother watching anything like that because, one, it makes me very nervous, and two, it's just, it's always so, like, the narrative is always so bad in those movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, natural disasters are, obviously they're a huge threat, but I feel like the very extreme things we see in movies, no. It's physically possible, yes. Likely to happen, fuck no.
Well, I mean, yeah. That can be said for a lot of movies, and that's always the good thing. I mean, movies should always kind of err on that side of extreme, I hope. Because I don't want something that hits close to home where I think it's a possibility, because then that might freak me out.
And see, that's, like, Contagion. I will never see Contagion.
No.
Oh, yeah,
I will never see that one. Because I'm like, no, I want to exist in a world where I don't have to acknowledge that this could happen.
Interesting. See, I myself, you guys, my favorite actually is the aforementioned Invisibles, in terms of end-of-the-world scenarios, which is, alright, so when I got into the Invisibles, I was actually just getting into Neon Genesis Evangelion at the same time.
Oh, God.
So I watched that whole series, and, like, the movies and everything, and, the end of that is very remarkably similar to the Invisibles. In that everybody coalesces into one mass human consciousness, except for the one character, but then he ruins everything. This is my interpretation anyway. Ask anyone who's an Evangelion fan, they all think something different happened. But
I actually agree with you.
Yeah, I like the idea that it's not an end, it's just a coming together again, I guess would be the way to put it. I don't necessarily believe that's what's going to happen. I do believe, like Ashley was saying earlier, that, you know, at some point later in this year, maybe, you know, in the near future, there's going to be some mass shift of human consciousness, and maybe everyone will be nicer to each other. I wouldn't hold out hope for it, because I am not a complete optimist. But, yeah, the Invisibles, very much the idea of that very much appeals to me. Like, the idea that the world is our sentence, like, that it is a... the world is not necessarily a punishment, but that it is something we must get through in order to get to... the good part of humanity. Not necessarily heaven, because I was having an argument with my girlfriend the other day about heaven and hell and the existence of them and all that stuff, which is very interesting, believe me. But that there is, like, you know, a next level of consciousness, I guess. So, yeah, that's a thing.
Wow. That's really interesting.
That is kind of bizarre, but...
No, it's funny, because I watched Evangelion, because the character, which, if anyone's not seen Evangelion, that's a series and a half for you, and it's definitely, like, it's, like, the one character that doesn't get really, and it's like, it's very interesting, because, like, I wish I would have gotten to read The Invisibles just the same time as I would have been finishing watching Evangelion back in the day, because that would have been an interesting play off of those two concepts. But I didn't read Invisibles till about a little while way later than when I finished up watching Evangelion. So that would have been interesting, though, to see the play off of those two concepts.
Indeed. So, I don't know what else we can talk about in this. We've talked about our specific beliefs and what we enjoy about end-of-the-world concepts and stuff like that.
Well, while you were cut off, we were just briefly talking about natural disaster films and stuff like that. So if you wanted to offer up your thoughts on that real quick.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I've never really been into them, per se. No? Like, I don't know. I've watched a few, but they're never like, oh my god, I need to see that. And, like, 2012 or 10, whatever some of the other ones were. Oh shit, there's a bee.
That's how the world ends.
Don't you remember that movie? That movie? Oh shit, there's a bee.
Oh, that reminds
me. The world ends with a bee.
For some reason, that reminds me of The Happening.
The world ends without a bang, but a buzz.
The trees are trying to cut us all.
M. Night Shyamalan is the threat. He speaks for the trees.
And I guess that will be another, that could be our final question, is how wouldn't you want the world to end? Because I definitely don't want death by trees.
Well, I don't want the world to end. I kind of like the world the way it is.
Well, I mean, if you had to be given a choice.
I don't know. I would not want the world to end in a infestation of wolverines.
Oh, good one.
You like that answer? That's a good answer, I think.
That's a good one. I like that answer.
Or if it run over by Canadians.
You're just saying that because there's no Canadians on this podcast anymore.
Not my fault.
Oh, no.
No, I would say, if anything, I'd probably take Canadians over Jerseyans or Jerseyites. What are people from Jersey called?
Losers.
Fair enough.
Which is why I'm from Pennsylvania, fucker.
But yeah, I wouldn't want that, and I don't want any type of like animal epidemic. I don't, you know, like mad cow or bees or anything stupid like that.
You wouldn't want bees in your eyes?
No. If we're going out in a fiery blaze of glory, I want it to be a big bang and not some little thing like, haha, your immune system sucks. That's all I'm saying.
What about you, Ash?
As much as I was talking earlier about how I would prefer them to a naked Kevin Nash, zombies, I would really rather not have a zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's pretty much the big one, is I don't want that. Mostly because I know that that's just, I'd be gone. You guys seen Zombieland?
Yeah.
I'd be gone in the first wave. But yeah, just, I would rather it not end because we totally fucked it up. But I feel that's... No, and you know what? I can't say that that's what's going to happen, because that's placing so much importance on humanity, as if the Earth couldn't compensate for anything we could fuck up. Like, the system is so much bigger than us, so I don't know.
The system has been around since before we were here, and will be around. Like, this is actually the idea for this came because I was reading a book about, what was it called? A Short History of Nearly Everything. And the idea that if you put the entirety of Earth's history into 1 minute, human existence is like a hundredth of a second. So it's pretty hubristic of us to think that we're that important.
But we continue to anyhow.
Yeah.
And it's probably because we're the only ones giving out histories on this Earth right now. Yeah. So
at this point, correct.
I mean, I'm sure there's some other people, but they don't speak English or humanese. So we don't care.
No, they speak dolphins.
Yeah. I like how you both have the same animal in mind.
So long. Oh. Thanks for all the fish.
Oh, what about the world flooding? I guess that falls under natural disasters.
That's happened so many times already. Who cares?
I was thinking something like Waterworld.
The planet has flooded and receded and flooded so many times, it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Fair enough.
I
think, by the way, and also my thing I don't want them, I'd rather not have to happen when the world ends is how the world ends. Because I don't want to have some moment of someone goes, okay, but this actually likely the likely scenario of people all getting pissed off and going, okay, you know, screw you, nuclear bomb. And so then we have freaking nuclear Armageddon.
I don't want something stupid like that where it's our own incompetence that does
it. I don't want that. That would be
depressing.
That's likely. I used to say that, but that's likely. So everyone getting pissed off and suddenly just pushing the buttons and we suddenly have freaking nuclear bombs launching everywhere.
Yeah, that wouldn't be any fun. Well,
however the world ends, I don't want Nick Gage to be the one to predict it.
No. No, definitely not him.
Well, hopefully Chris Jericho will be our savior.
He is.
He should save us. Well, guys, I think it's been interesting. It's been an interesting session. I think we could actually do a whole other podcast just on this, too. if we ever got around to it.
Yeah, maybe next time we'll have a group of movies we actually sit down and watch.
Yeah. No, that's not gonna happen. Yes. So do you guys have anything you wish to pimp out while we're have the attention of the masses?
The five of you out there. Granted, yes, this is already on the website, and hopefully you're checking that out anyhow, but I just started up from Fandom with Dove, which will be my series focusing on the James Bond franchise leading up to Skyfall this year. I don't really know what we're doing yet, other than a podcast next week, but I also want to do something special for Batman Animated Series turning 20 years old this September. So, look out for that. Hopefully, it's starting this week. I assume it's just going to be a bunch of this, like, favorite episodes, characters, moments, and stuff like that.
I myself have just recently completed the first run-through of the A to Z of Geek Cinema, ending with Zardoz, which was...
Nice job on that, by the way.
Thing. That was a thing. Zardoz is definitely a thing. I love that movie. It's so bad.
Because you get to see more Harry Sean Connery.
Yeah. But I'm taking this week off, ostensibly. I might try to get that game review I've been meaning to do for 2 months done, but I don't know if that'll happen or not. Starting next week, I haven't decided where I'm going with it yet, whether I'm going to do another A to Z, or just do randomness, or what. But I can guarantee, I already have one movie I want to write about. It's going to be fun. So keep an eye out for that. You can check out our respective Twitters here on the site. You'll find the links to it. And I guess for Wes, Ashley, and Earl, this is Nicholas saying goodbye. Thank you for listening to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 107. Peace out. Fuckers.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not a crane. Turn world to its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox, beat grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down high. Fire and a fire representing seven games in a government for hire and a combat site. Let the West coming in a hurry with the Furies breathing down your neck. Team my team reporters babble Trump, Tether Croft. Look at that, no plane. Fine, then. Uh-oh, overflow. Population common food, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself. World serves its own needs. Listen to your heartbeat. Slice and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive incinerate. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, watch a heel crush, crush. Uh-oh, this means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world. Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, but that, right?
it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.